Here we go. Maxine Waters on MSNBC. Trump is trying to stop the Mueller probe by having Sessions resign. He wants to act like a dictator. So this is all over the place. We're living through a coup. All right, the coups, they've whipped up the coup stuff again. The Democrat National Committee Chair, Tom Perez, says Trump firing Sessions is worse than Watergate. MSNBC talking head says people need to take to the streets over the Sessions firing. We need another revolution because we're living through a coup. Let's see. John Brennan, CIA, warns after Sessions firing, constitutional crisis is coming very soon. This is all coming out. They are whipping them up into a frenzy with this stuff.
So if somebody goes out and does something stupid, are they going to be held responsible?
Well, no. I mean, not if the person they're doing it to is believed to be a racist. Look, listen, just tune in to CNN. Chris Cuomo will explain it to you. It's okay to hurt somebody and beat them as long as you think they're a racist. And it's totally up to your judgment. Just whatever you feel.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Meanwhile, by the way, in the good news category.
Well, there is some.
But yeah, no, it's cool news, actually. This whole idea of awakening a sleeping giant. The problem would be if the giant went back to sleep. You know what I mean? Would this Trump success thing be a one-off? And one of the things Trump was able to do was get people to the polls who literally have never voted before. In South Carolina alone, there were tens of thousands who had not voted in their adult lifetimes who went out and voted for Trump. It is unbelievable. And now we're seeing that across the country. In Georgia governor race, new voters helped the Republican candidate more. This, okay, never happens.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Normally, and this has been for years, if there's a huge turnout in an election, high numbers, right? That means that the low-information Democrat voters who normally never show up are out and you're in trouble, right?
Right.
So when they saw the huge numbers going into this, and this scared me a little bit too, that, but you know, the presumption, you wouldn't be wrong to make it given history, is that this benefits the Democrats because it always has in the past. Not anymore. Early voting data from Georgia shows that while Democrats mobilized many low propensity or new voters to the poll in the polls in this midterm election, there were even more Republican voters who did not vote in the 2014 midterm elections who cast ballots early this year. And they say they don't have the election day data yet, but the numbers here are huge. Let me get this. It's the numbers here are huge. A total of 300. This is not just Georgia. 396,246 white voters in Georgia voted early after not voting at all in 2014. They said it's these disengaged voters, who have come back to the fold to vote at Trump's request, who have put Kemp in the lead there in Georgia.
And Stacey Abrams is having nothing of this.
No, she's taking the Hillary route. She's just not accepting the outcome of the election.
Maybe she'll continue to go on tour and try to sell books and do something, you know?
Maybe she'll get lost wandering in the forest.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be even better. It would be so much even better.
Did you hear what happened to Kemp?
No, what happened to him?
He went to go vote, and there was an issue with his voter registration.
Really? What was it?
They had a problem. I had a problem with this, too. Actually, I went to my precinct in Williamston, and I showed them a license. They scan the back of your license these days with a little, Sam's Club scanner that they have. And she got to looking at this, what's your address? And I told her, and it's like, this is not the same person. So whatever it is that scanner saw on the back of my new driver's license, which I just got recently, that has a little QR code or whatever the heck it is on the back of it, didn't match up. So I was able to verify, though, that I was who I said I was, and I still was able to vote. But, technology didn't work. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but...
Should I have cried voter suppression?
Yeah, you should have. Well, you're white male. No one cares what
That's
you say.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. In fact, the world's probably better off.
I should have been suppressed because I'm a white male voter.
You should. Everybody knows that, right? It's just obvious looking at you that you should be suppressed and repressed.
Yes.
And every other thing. meanwhile, did you see this? Tijuana just saw 36 murders in a week. That's after 2,124 in 2018.
In a week. That's almost as bad as Chicago.
Yeah, I know. Except our border's wide open. And the folks doing that can just come here. Second highest violent crime rate on earth.
Are you talking about Chicago or Tijuana?
I don't know. I think we should send the Chicago folks up to Canada. You know what I mean? Let them file a human rights violation there. You know what I mean? So what a mess the whole thing is. Meanwhile, So you got all you have all of this stuff going on. And look at the numbers here. 100 are turnout estimates so far. 114 million votes cast in the House, breaking just to put it in perspective, 2014 turnout 83 million. Turnout yesterday 114 million. So I mean, wow, that's massive.
Yeah.
Just folks excited, engaged, turning out, doing all that stuff. Meanwhile, I mean, did you see this, Lee? Just a follow-up, because we've done this in this segment. The Chinese state media openly celebrating what they call their midterm victory in the U.S.
Oh, they have a midterm victory?
Yeah, they had a midterm victory.
All right.
They did. Remember I read you the article from the Associated Press about how the Chinese were paying to influence voters?
Yeah. Right.
Who might be affected by the tariffs. They think they could, Midwestern voters. They were trying to put Democrats in office. And with no sense of irony whatsoever, AP... puts this article together. Yeah, so the Chinese are in there, they're trying to influence, they're working against Trump. Isn't that great? Well, no, wait a minute. Why is it a problem then when the Russians allegedly do it?
Exactly.
We can't actually prove, by the way, that the Russian government, they never have proved that the Russian government directed that in any way. And anyway, a lot of it, there was more of it for Hillary than there was for Trump. But, details don't matter.
No.
But in this case, we actually have, you don't have to search for the connections. We actually have the actual Chinese government via their state media celebrating and taking credit for the win in the House. Thanks to their efforts. Not hiding it. Not a conspiracy. None of that. So where's the investigation? I mean, I want to know, was there any collusion between the Democrats and the communist Chinese? I mean, other than, everyday promotion of communism.
There is that.
Yeah. I mean, I want an investigation. I mean, the Chinese have admitted they colluded or admitted they tried to influence our election. They did influence our election. I mean, like with actual money. So, I mean, I just want to know, are they going to lose their Facebook accounts? I mean, are they going to be investigated by Mueller? Does anybody care? Was there any collusion? I guess nobody cares.
Nope.
I mean, they're admitting to this. Can you imagine if, like, the state media in Russia admitted this? Oh, yeah, look at that. We kept the Senate. The Republicans kept the Senate. We totally helped them do that. Oh, my God, you would never end.
Yeah.
They'd be in the streets burning stuff down because that's what they do. So, I mean, I guess collusion is just fine as long as the right people win. Do I have that right?
You've got that exactly right.
Yeah. It's actually fine. And, isn't it funny? Nobody's saying that this is, how they do with the collusion. Well, there might be indictments on the, how are you going to have indictments? Collusion isn't illegal.
Yeah.
Well, you can see they're not worried about indictments, are they, when it comes to the Chinese?
Well, see, the problem is that the Chinese don't pay taxes to the U.S. federal government, so they've got nobody to investigate and then indict on an unrelated charge.
No, they just pay Dianne Feinstein and her husband.
That's right. Yeah.
That's how they do that.
Yeah.
It's just great. Where did this go? I don't have the numbers in front of me. Okay, yeah, but Okay, Lewis and Greer has this. Lewis, hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kara.
So, what's going on?
No, I saw over in the news over my phone that Ruth Bader Ginsburg apparently fell and broke 3 ribs.
Yes.
She's getting up there. I mean, it's apparently Trump may get another appointee before 2020.
Folks usually don't die from broken ribs. I have had them, but you feel like dying. But that's a very painful situation. But, once again, she's just apparently fell and did fracture 3 ribs. So,
yes, we hope for her speedy recovery.
Yeah, I'm not talking about her dying. I'm just her age and her health.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's a good thing at that age.
Well, she's been having a problem remaining conscious at most speeches she attends.
Again, can you imagine if this was Clarence Thomas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? They would be at his doorstep making the argument he should, resign.
Yeah.
Or, it would, if it was there during the Obama administration and was reversed, they would dog him.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely dog him.
Yep.
Talk about, there's a way we can impeach him. We got to get him out of there. He's senile. Instead, they're covering for it.
Put him on injured reserve list or something him for another federal judge to be named later.
Yep. Texture writes, there is a coup attempt in place, but it's the deep state running a coup against Trump. Ah, yes, the hysteria has begun. The coup, we're living through a coup, of course, by Trump, because he asked Sessions to resign. Eric Holder apparently in a panic, former Attorney General Eric Holder, saying this is the red line after Rosenstein, himself a criminal, loses control over the Mueller probe. These folks are panicking. Shortly after Sessions turned in his resignation letter, a U.S. official said the acting attorney general, Matthew Whitaker, is expected to take over the Mueller probe. New York Times describes Whitaker as a Trump loyalist. Although it's the New York Times, who knows if it's true. Unfortunately, according to reports, Rod Rosenstein will remain as the deputy attorney general for now, in a complete mockery of justice. Here's what Holder tweeted. Anyone who attempts to interfere with or obstruct the Mueller inquiry must be held accountable. This is a red line. We are a nation of laws. Oh, what a joke for coming from him. We are a nation of laws and norms, not subject to self-interested actions of one man. Oh, they're calling for Whitaker to recuse himself. By the way, you know, before Trump was elected, before the outcome of the 2016 election, Whitaker wrote at CNN that Hillary should be investigated, because she had clearly committed crimes. There was probable cause there. So this is about to get very, very interesting. Meanwhile, crazy anti-Maxine, Maxine Waters, says Trump is trying to stop the Mueller probe and he wants to act like a dictator. Yeah, the Democrats are calling for marches and people to take to the street. And it appears, at least in the upstate, they are. Did you see this? Nationwide protests planned for tomorrow. This is a local Democrat activist. I'm not going to say his name because I'm not going to give him the free PR. Nationwide, this is from his Facebook page promoting this. Nationwide protests planned for tomorrow after president appointed a new acting attorney general. I just received an email saying nobody is above the law. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? The Democrats are going to march under the banner nobody is above the law. They're the only people above the law. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me just... Wow, the irony. The Greenville protest is set for today from 5 to 6 p.m. in downtown One City Plaza. There's going to be one in Spartanburg as well, Morgan Square. Protests also planned in Beaufort, Charleston, Columbia, Myrtle Beach, North Augusta, and Rock Hill. Apparently, this is part of 900 protests of the firing of the racist Jeff Sessions, who, by the way, Nancy Pelosi and Elizabeth Warren demanded be removed from office a little over a year ago, both of them. But now they're outraged that he was fired because they want to keep the fake Mueller probe going. You just can't make this stuff up, folks. You literally can't make this stuff up. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. Speaking of the text line, going to jump on over to the text line, see what the people have to say. Actually, oh no, we're not. It just crashed. Okay. Here we go. Yeah, I'm sorry about this. Just technology problems are maddening. Okay, this is interesting to me. How much money would you need to be part of the 1% worldwide? Like financially part of the 1%. Very interesting. Because you could totally, if you scrimp and save and live the Dave Ramsey lifestyle, you could totally achieve this. According to a 2018 Global Wealth Report from Credit Suisse Research Institute, you would need a net worth of $871,320. That's it. You ought to have at least $500,000 for retirement by the time you get there, no matter what you do. I mean, unless you've had real life challenges like, you know, a major health setback or something. It is absolutely doable in a lifetime. It is. All right. Here's the text line is back. Never take that for granted. Okay. Texter writes, Whitaker is Trump's hatchet man. Like Scaramucci. Scaramucci wasn't anything. He didn't even get to move into the office before he left. It's Trump's MO. Whitaker will hand down the indictments and then the Dems can do nothing with what is to come. Texter writes, a nation of laws? Holder? Fast and furious? Question mark. I know. They ran guns to Mexican cartels illegally, broke the law to do it. Let me see, they're better and smarter than us, though. When they break the law, it's for our own good. Texter writes, have the protesters got permits, if not lock them up? I don't know. Texter writes, hey, Tara, did you see on Fox News Judge Napolitano saying Matthew Whitaker can't legally be acting AG? What? I don't know. Google that at the break. Tara, when are we going to admit That the Democrats have thousands, if not millions, of illegitimate ballots cast for them in these elections from illegal aliens. Voter ID laws are critical in all states. Yeah, I mean, just look at what's going on in Texas right now, where we literally have the Democrat Party sending mailings to non-citizens, including illegal immigrants, and then those just not eligible to vote in federal elections because they're not citizens, with the citizenship box pre-checked and nothing else. They have voter registrations. It's insane. Okay, headed toward the end of the year. The year wrap-ups, Lee, are always fun. Especially word of the year. The first word of the year is in Collins Dictionary. And these are always political in some way.
Oh, of course.
Collins Dictionary went with the ever-offensive single use. Which got a lot of play earlier this year when cities, states, and businesses started banning plastic straws and in some cases.
Oh, single use.
Yeah, single use.
Okay.
Yeah. In some cases, passing laws, sending waiters to prison for handing out straws.
A lot of things that should be single use.
Oh, Lord. We could go down a really bad path with that. Okay, so anyway. Yes. So that officially kicks off word of the year. Other runners up were hashtag me too, gaslight, whitewash, okay. And floss.
Explain the gaslight thing to me. I don't understand. I've never heard that explained. What does that mean reference to?
Hold on. I'll Google it. I used to know. I don't know.
I've seen this in some headlines recently. I'm sorry. No one ever explained that to me, Lucy.
Explain it to you. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Gaslighting. According to Wikipedia, a form of psychological manipulation that seeks to sow seeds of doubt in a targeted individual or in a member of a targeted group, making them question their own memory, perception, and sanity. Sounds really complicated.
How do you get gaslight and associate that with that? I don't get that.
I don't know what that is either. But
I'm kind of doubtful of this whole story.
Yes. Well, but I'm just reading the news. I don't know. Okay. Meanwhile, I love how President Trump refuses to go along with the politically correct script.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so PBS sends a black reporter, Yamichi Alcindor, to ask him, everybody's concluded you're a white supremacist, ergo, you're a white supremacist.
Right.
What do you have to say about that?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, and he's being blasted by the media for daring to answer the way he did to a black reporter, as if the color of your skin should make a question make a difference in how the president answers the question, which
it
is absurd. No, of course not.
But, you know.
Okay, take a listen to this. This is the crap the president has to put up with.
On the campaign trail, you called yourself a nationalist. Some people saw that as emboldening white nationalists. Now people are also saying
that
the president.
That's such a racist question.
There are some people that say that now the Republican Party is seen as supporting white nationalists because of your rhetoric. What do you make of that?
I don't believe it. I don't know. Why do I have my highest poll numbers ever with African Americans? Why do I have among the highest poll numbers with African Americans? I mean, why do I have my highest poll numbers? That's such a racist question. Honestly? I mean, I know you have it written down and you're going to tell me. Let me tell you, that's a racist question.
And Mr. President, I'm
going to
ask.
You know what the word is? I love our country. I do. You have nationalists, you have globalists. I also love the world. And I don't mind helping the world, but we have to straighten out our country first. We have a lot of problems. Excuse me. But to say that, what you said, is so insulting to me. It's a very terrible thing that you said.
And Mr. President, people have
This is not journalism anymore.
No, it's not.
This is advocacy showmanship. I mean, that's what we've got here. You know, why not ask about a policy? Why not talk about, is there some particular policy that this reporter may feel like has a racial overtone or is adversely affecting one group more than another? That would be a valid question to ask a president. That would be a valid question. But to say, people say you're a racist, so what do you got to say about that? It's just as you pointed out. I mean, this is a waste of time, an absolute waste of time. But you're right. He does not care anything about trying to be politically correct.
No, he doesn't. In fact, he's completely rejecting it. I'm sorry. I'm not answering according to the terms that you want me to stick.
I reject the premise, period. End of story.
That's
move
what
on.
He's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you said nationalist, and that sounds like white nationalist, so you must be racist. What?
You know, this, and we're allowing the left and the media to determine what words mean. And then make associations with one meaning with another meaning that has nothing to do with that meaning. I mean, this is absolute lunacy we're going into.
Yeah.
It's a crazy period. You know, if you're a nationalist, then you are promoting your nation and putting your nation first and doing things to benefit your nation. Gee, as the chief executive of a nation, I think that's what you ought to be doing.
You would think.
And quite honestly, he has used this phrase before, and he's actually said this on the world stage. And he tells other folks how the leaders of these other nations should be putting their nations first. He said that at the United Nations address, I think, on more than one occasion.
They know exactly what he means.
Yes, they know what he means.
They're deliberately misunderstanding.
Exactly.
This is because, you remember, Acosta explained, this is a dog whistle to the other white supremacists. How do you know, Jim? Because I said so.
Yeah.
These aren't even questions. This is just declarations where they get up and slam the president.
Exactly.
They never did this to Barack Obama. They never did.
I was thinking back too on the way with Trump, it's like a machine gun approach to these press conferences. What Obama would do, I thought was fascinating, and he was really good at doing this. He would talk very slowly, and use very long, winded, multisyllabic answers. And he'd run the clock out.
Yes, he would.
He would literally run the clock out. He was doing the four corners offense in the White House press conference. He would just simply run the clock out, hold the ball until, you know, the game was over. And then, you know, half the press corps had already gone to sleep by that time. But he would drone on and on and on, never asked to answer the question, and just take so much time that he'd only get like four questions in an hour and a half. But with Trump, it's like, boom, boom, boom. No, I reject it. What you're saying is racist. I'm offended by it. Move on. Next question.
Yep. You know, and by the way, who gave Jim Acosta the right to lecture the president? Why does he have a right to do that? You know, like during the Obama administration, they wouldn't even allow anybody from like a Breitbart or Daily Caller to be part of the press corps. You had to be, you not only have a credential, you had to be liberal or you just weren't doing it. You're not going to get to ask a question. You know, well, now Trump has these other folks, Gateway Pundit, Breitbart, all them in the press corps, which is good. But, you know, why does Jim Acosta have a right to ask two questions?
Well, and he doesn't. Nobody else does. No more right or any less right than anybody else. He simply has a job to do, and he's not doing his job. And what his job should be as a journalist is to ask questions to get answers from the White House. Now, the problem is that he has seen this as an opportunity to pontificate. If he wants to do that on CNN, on his own time, on the viewer's time, and pontificate about what he thinks that the president means or what he intends or what's in his heart or what's in his mind, even though he has no way of knowing that, he's perfectly welcome to do that. But if you are going to be a White House press conference journalist, you are there to question the president of the United States. And you're not there to badger him. You're not there to belittle him. You're not there to fend off young ladies who are trying to take the microphone, which belongs to the White House, away from you and pass it on to the next journalist. You know, Acosta, it's just, he's an embarrassment to the industry.
He is. He is an embarrassment to the industry. And this is not, I mean, again, it has been tradition for many, many years, and I've cut audio from these press conferences over and over. I can tell you, you get one question.
I would not walk across the street to shake hands with many of the liberal, progressive, Democrat office holders we have had in recent years. But I would never treat them the way that Acosta treats them. In the position. If I was at a press conference doing my job, I would simply respectfully ask the question and move on. Maybe try to get another one snuck in there if possible or a quick follow-up. That's fine. I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. But what he did yesterday was verbal harassment and it was grandstanding. And it was just, it was beneath the dignity, if there is such a thing, of journalism.
Not anymore, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Meanwhile, okay, here's my bet on this, okay? I'm going to make a prediction. I feel fairly confident about this happening. Okay, we've now got this new acting Attorney General, Matthew Whitaker, right?
Right.
And it has been revealed that he believes Hillary should have, there was probable cause for her to have been at least indicted for what, clearly there was, for what she did with the classified info. I mean, that is, it's violates clear crime. And he had penned an op-ed in August of 2017 saying that Mueller's investigation of Trump is going too far. And he argued the special counsel is roving outside of his jurisdiction to investigate Trump-Russia, right?
Which he is.
Oh, of course he is. Yeah, that's plain to anybody. I mean, the idea that he even, like, legally and constitutionally can do this is very suspect. There's
yes,
no crime.
Is. Yes.
Yet he has subpoena power. I mean, how is that possible?
Yeah.
It's just bizarre. I mean, you have to have evidence of a crime. That's what the Fourth Amendment is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the only reason this has been allowed to stand is because Sessions, of course, recused himself. All right. So Whitaker is taking over Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein's job, right? So we got these 900 protests launched. They're going to be marching today in Greenville and in Spartanburg in protest of this. Yeah, that they're coordinating that on Facebook right now, the left. And it's called No One Is Above the Law, which is hysterical. Because the left, they're the only ones above the law, right?
If no one's above the law, then Hillary should be incarcerated.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Oh,
and there wouldn't be poop all over the sidewalks of San Fran, but there is. But anyway, so I am willing to bet that what will happen is that a judge, some left-wing judge, pick one, is already preparing an order to keep Matthew Whitaker from taking office, holding office, overseeing. I don't know what form legally this will take because I'm not an expert on that. But this is how the left governs now. And I would be shocked, given what they have at stake in terms of what might be found by Matthew Whitaker in terms of the crimes of the DOJ, Obama, Hillary, all those folks. They've got to stop this, right? So, I mean, they're going to find a judge somewhere. And the judge will argue something along the lines, I'm going to predict this, that because Matthew Whitaker is biased, because he's already said he believes Hillary committed a crime, that he must recuse himself or cannot take the position or something. Wait for that. I expect to see that in the coming days, if not today. And it'll be based on a complete joke of a legal argument.
Yeah.
It'll be just because I said, because they want to tie him up for the next couple of years. And once again, take away one of Trump's constitutionally protected abilities, which is to executively appoint people to the executive branch. Because, you know, he's the executive. It's one of the three branches. Never mind. Yeah. I give up. Going to jump on the line with Lewis in Tiara. Good morning, Lewis.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make the very specific point that if anybody thinks that the reason the media is so contentious with Donald Trump is because Donald Trump is contentious, they could just go search on YouTube for the very first press conference for with George Bush when he won his second term. And you'll see them be just as condescending, just as combative. And I don't think anybody, even if you didn't like Bush or you thought that he was a murderer because he went to war, anybody thought he was really combative personally. And it has, of course, with Trump, they're more animated. But if we'd have elected even Mike Pence, let's say, and it was President Pence, as mild-mannered as he is, they would still be just as vicious. They would just hide their viciousness. They wouldn't be as electric because he wouldn't be, if he wasn't as effective. But if he were effective, they'd be just as electric and call him a racist and a warmonger and a Nazi and everything like that. So for anybody fair-minded out there who wants to actually go back and look at the YouTube video, it's not that Trump is contentious. And it's actually refreshing and sweet to hear him talk about how he loves America and he loves the world. And he's so honest and transparent. You have to really be, take him seriously to see how tender, as far as funny as that sounds, that Trump is as combative as he is, because he stands up for his views. He's also very, fair, and he could be a whole lot more direct and contentious and use some very specific words if he were to really tell the truth about the way these guys behave. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you, Lewis. I mean, yeah, when you're called Hitler over and over and over again. That's not just Trump. I had a Bush-Hitler gallery at the old radio station I worked at. I kept it online. Every time there was a new Bush-Hitler photo or article, I just put it all in the gallery. And a lot of times they would like to put a Hitler mask over him and hang him from something in effigy. That was always fun. This has been going on forever. It has. And Bush was Hitler, too. It's any Republican is Hitler. and a racist. De facto, we don't need to know anything else. All right, I want to get to this. Because talk about, I love stuff like this. Just makes me wonder about life and the universe. I don't know. Draw from it whatever you want. But talk about the best right place, right time ever. There's a guy by the name of Gus Hutt. And he was camping in Matara, New Zealand last week. And he'd been fishing in the same spot every morning. But that day, he randomly decided to try a different spot 300 feet away. So he's out in the ocean. And he sees a small figure floating in the water. And he thought it might be a doll. And he almost, you know, didn't go over to check, right? He gets closer and he realizes it's an 18-month-old baby. Like, not a doll. Like, a real one. Apparently, the baby had managed to escape his parents' tent in a campground while they were still asleep and had wandered into the ocean. Oh, my gosh, a parent. That just stops my heart. Gus scooped him out of the water, wrapped him in towels, took him back to the shore, and amazingly, the baby is doing totally fine. Who knew? I guess they float, right? Because there's no way he knew how to swim. Thank God for that. Anyway, the woman who owns the campground said the rescue was, quote, a freakish miracle. Man, I'll tell you what, when it's not your time, it's not your time. It's not. Oh, meanwhile, boy, this is so true with me. Do you ever give a gift and you feel so good afterward? And it might not even be anything that was that big of a deal, but boy. New survey, 86% of people say they'd rather give a gift than get one. I am so that way. Oh, yeah, you just get this, I don't know. It's a great feeling to get, especially if it's a gift that you could clearly tell somebody really wanted or likes, or they get really excited about it. Yep. A survey by Etsy asked people if they'd rather give a gift this Christmas or get one. 86% said they'd rather give than receive. By the way, none of them were Democrats. They expect you to pay for their gifts because, yeah.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.